It's Purim, right? A chassidish, a real chassidish vart. I like this vart very, very much. It's so chassidish, it's just dripping with chassidus. There's not something a Litvak would not tolerate this, but he would throw you out of the Beis Medrash. No, I'm not a converter. No, I'm not. I'm a Litvak. The Litvaks, they're very cold. They're very cold. But they love Purim. They wait a whole year for Purim. Why? Because Purim, they can't wait until the Balkriya lands. Evel Gadol La Yehudim. It warms the Litvish hearts. Achman al Islam, okay. A Litvak, Pacha is the perfect dogma for a Litvak. You know what Pacha is?
Yes.
Pacha? It's a Litvak. It's cold. It shuckles like a Litvak. And if you try to warm it up with the good Hasidic Shavart, it gets ruined. Falls apart. All right, now let's talk something, another Hasidic Shavart. This is Parashat Tzav. Parashat Tzav, the parasha begins. Let me just be mocked in with something a little more serious. And it was tied into the beginning of the parasha. We have here a list of all of the korbanos. There's a lot of repetition. We'll discuss in a few moments why there is so much repetition. Parasha Tzav, pretty much, the beginning of the parasha repeats most of what was taught last week. Parasha Vayikra describes the korbanos, goes through all of the korbanos, and well, most of the korbanos. And Parasha Tzav, it just repeats all the korbanos once again. Why the repetition? So we'll come to that in a few moments. But when the Torah describes the most of the korbanos and it instructs us where they should be slaughtered, the location, especially the kodesh, only the kodesh kodashim, it always mentions, don't forget to slaughter the korban chatos in the same location where you slaughtered the korban oila. Korban oila is kodesh kodashim, holy of the holies, and it has to be slaughtered on the northern side of the Azara. You divide it right down the center, Kodshei Kodashim Shechitasan Ba Tzofan, on the north side. Okay, whatever the reason, that's not for now, on the north side. Then it comes to the Korban Chatas. Korban Chatas, also Kodshei Kodashim. Where do you slaughter the Korban Chatas? In the place where you slaughter the carbon oil, don't forget that's where you shech the carbon chatas. Carbon ashan, same thing. In the place where you shech the carbon chata oil, that's where you shech your carbon ashan. What's going on here? Torah has to go tell us this verbosity. Just say it's you shecht it in the tzofin. Well, maybe we can figure it out on our own. If it's kodesh kodashim, we'll figure it out on our own. It has to be shechted in the north. Why does the Torah emphasize that the carbon chatos must be slaughtered in the place of the carbon oila? And the answer given, I saw this in the Likud Sefer. I don't know. I can't figure out who he's saying this over in the name of. But this is not my var. This is probably from a Chassidish Rebbe. And he says, because for what reason does a person bring a carbon oila? What does a carbon oila accomplish? So Chazal say it accomplishes kapara for a machshava ra'a. If a person has evil intent, doesn't do anything. He has an evil machshav. He wants to do an aveira. And he changes his mind. He realizes it's not proper and he does not do it. Does he need to bring a korban? Absolutely not. All he needs to do is say, Hashem, I'm sorry. In my mind, I had a havamina. I had a thought that maybe I would do an aveira. I'm sorry. He's forgiven. However, if a person really wants to go to an extreme and achieve atonement for an evil thought, the Gemara says, Chazal Darshan, you bring a voluntary korban oila. Every voluntary, not required, a voluntary korban oila atones for a machshava ra'a, for an evil thought. Now, when does a person bring a korban chatos? When does he bring a carbon asham? When you do a real avera. When you do something lamaisa, you actually do something. The Torah says, when you bring your carbon chatas for eating chalef, or you bring your carbon asham for any one of the five sins a person can do to be chayav a carbon asham, the Torah says, make sure when you bring that carbon, you bring it in the same location where you bring a carbon oila. As if to say, this avera that you have done did not start in a vacuum. No avera just happens by accident. You only bring a carbon when you do an avera by accident. But no avera happens by accident. You do an avera, it's because in your mind, at one point in time in your life, you had a thought. You know what? It's not so bad to do a sin, to commit an avera. You do it, what's so terrible? Either you had kavanah to do the avera, or in your mind you were tolerant of someone else doing the avera, and it percolates. And then eventually, you do the avera, not b'mezid, but you do the avera by accident. The Torah is very delicately telling you, if it happened to you by accident, it must be somewhere back there in your mind, not from today, who knows from when, in your mind, in your thought, it wasn't so bad to do. Or maybe you wanted to actually do it. Or you saw someone else do it and it didn't bother you. Oh, and now look what happened. It happened to you by accident. You're a tzaddik. No one's coming to criticize you. We're coming here to super magnify teeny, teeny little things here. Oh, but it happened. You did an avera. You ate chalef. You did an avera on Shabbos by mistake. Oh, you're going to bring now a carbon chatos? Let's now go back to the root of where this happened. Bimkoim asher shochat es ha'oila. The place where you slaughter the oila. Why do you bring a carbon oila? To atone for a machshava ra'ah. That's the place where I want you to bring your carbon chatos, your carbon asham. I want you to acknowledge that you have to cleanse your thought. It's not just enough to atone for your actions. There's something that's lingering in your mind that needs atonement. You got to go back to the roots. Now, what's the chassidus? That word is a shtikl chassidus shavart.
But
he said this?
No, he said it happened to
him
that he committed something.
But Hashem,
it
was
about Hashem type. No, right. But instead, why did he
do
it? Because he saw somebody, I think with Chal Shabbos, and it
didn't bother him as much as it should have. It now, that part that I told you is half Hasidish. That's the Litva Shavart. That could be considered today a Litva Shavart. And where's the Hasidish Shavart? Now, I want to tie that into the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Tzav, command, Es Aaron v'es Bonov Lemar, Zoyz Taras Ho'ila, the Karbon Ho'ila, Hi Ho'ila, Al Moigdo, Al HaMizbech, Kol HaLayla, Ad HaBoyke, V'eshem Shotu HaBoy, Rashi, what's going on over here? Why do we have the word Tzav? Tzav is a very harsh word, right? Last week, we had Vayikra, soft, Lashon Chiba, soft. That's really the whole difference. The only difference between Parash Vayikra and Parash Asaf, the first chunk of the Parash is, Parash Vayikra is Chiba, and Parash Asaf repeats all the Karbonos. The only difference is harsh, Tzav, Zirus. Why Zirus? Ein Tzav. Ela L'shoin Zirus, strengthening, Miyat, now Uledoiros. Okay, that's the Pashup shot. It's for all generations. Oh, my Rabbi Shimon, b'yoyser, tzorech hakosav lezareis bimkoim, sheyesh boi chisoroin kis. When there's a loss of money, a carbon oilo you get nothing out of. When it comes to carbon chatos, at least the koyen gets a good meal. Okay, the koyen gets a good meal. No? But a carbon oila, the kohanim get the hide. That's right, they get the hide. But the hide relative to the slaughter of the animals is minor. It's not significant. You're right. It's a good point. The hide is always given to the kohanim. That's correct.
That's
but
why there's a machlokes on the Shabbos about an oila because
there's a benefit. There's a benefit.
It's only l'tzarcha,
the yomtiv. There is a
right.
But it's not whole l'tzarcha nefesh. You're getting a benefit of the hide. But when it comes, but it's the heart is minor relative to the meat. So when it comes to a carbon oil, when all of the meat is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach and there's not going to be any benefit, so then the Kohanim may be a little lax. You know, it's a waste of money. Why should we take or spend all this money on a carbon? Give the money to the poor. Give the money for Matanos Lo'ev Yoinim. We should bring a carbon. Bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what? Give the money to someone who needs the money. It's right, you have to do both. There's no excuse. There's a time when you have to bring a carbon, and there are times when you have to give tzedakah. Being that there is the chesaron kiss, then you need the word tzav. You have to be mechazik yourself. It's right, it's a loss of money. There is a loss of what you put in your pocket, in the kiss. But nevertheless, Hashem, He writes the rules. This is what must be done in certain situations. Okay, now what's the Chassidish of art? Every part of the person's body has a cover. Your eyes. If you're walking down the street and there's something you should not be seeing, what do? You close your eyes. There is a kiss. There is a cover. There is eyelids. You have eyelids. Eyelids cover your eyes. If you hear something you should not be hearing, so the Gemara is, you can take either the alia, the earlobe, or you can take your pinky, and you can stick it into your ear, even though it's smaller than the size of your elbow, but you can stick in your pinky into your ear to close up your ear. It's a kiss. It's a covering for the ear, a covering for the eyes. Your nose, you can close your nose. If you want, you can press your nose together, not to smell forbidden something that is l'shem avod l'zara. Today it's not a big deal to us, but in the ancient times they would offer incense l'shem avod l'zara. So if you're passing a place where they're offering a sacrifice, you can smell, even though technically it's not davar she'en bo mamish, but you should not derive benefit from avod l'zara. You can close your nose. Mouth, forbidden foods, I want to eat it. Just close your mouth. A person that wants to speak lashon hara, Chazal say, have two covers. You have the teeth and you have the lips. And yet the tongue is Houdini. The tongue can break out even from a double seal. Tongue knows how to get out there no matter what, no matter how many covers you put on the mouth, the words. But there's a kiss. Everything, your hands want to do an avera, put your hands in the pocket. There's always a covering for any organ of your person that is engaged or has a taiva to engage in sin. Put it in its covering. There's only one thing that does not have a covering, that roams free, and that is your thoughts. How do you suppress a machshava ra'ah? You see someone, you see something, or you have an urge, a taiva, and your mind is running. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I hate him, I don't like him, I love this, I don't like that. A mind is something that is almost impossible to control, especially today's day and age. Even today's day and age, maybe years ago, people were disciplined. The average person, I don't know, were they not? They're able to discipline their minds. Today, you don't see anyone teaching you how to control the mind because it's a lost cause. Okay, it's a lost cause. It's either you got it or you don't. Okay, the mind does not have a kiss. A davar, when it comes to a carbon oila, why do you bring the carbon oila? We just concluded. You bring the carbon oila because thoughts, machshava. The oila needs special zeros, special strengthening, because it's brought for concerning an organ, a part of your body, like an organ, a part of your hanhaga, sheyeshva, which has a chesaron kiss. It doesn't have a cover. There's nothing suppressing it. You can close your eyes, you can close your ears, you can close your mouth, you can put your hands in the pocket, but you can't close your mind. Your mind roams free, and your mind likes to think things that it should not be thinking, and for that, you need atonement, and the atonement comes in the form of a carbon oila, a davar sheyesh boy chisaron kiss. And just the point that I made before was just to bring out that point. That even now, look how far it goes. Because even when a person brings a carbon chatos, bimkoim, asher shochar es ha'oila, shamti shochar es ha'chatos. It all starts. Every single avera, Every single thing that happens, it all comes back to the Mokoim Asher Shochat Es Ha'Oila, because the Oila is the thought, is the Mitchaper on the Machshava, and the Machshava is something we can't control. It's lacking a covering. Okay, let's go to another one.
Someone has every day Machshava Dera'ah. Every day should be Korban Olah.
Say it again, not every
day. If a person has every day, you should bring every day.
Could you afford to bring a carbon oil every single day? There's no obligation.
There's no only.
I don't know. Every person is different. I don't know. I don't have an answer. We don't have a bit. You say the psukim. You read the psukim. Okay, next. Let's go now. Okay, now let's go to idea. Let's go to something about Shushan Purim and the parasha. Big question. There's a major question here in this parasha. Why is it? Why is the repetition? Why is the parasha repeating just about every karbon that we've learned, we mentioned last week? Now, last week, we didn't learn about the oil. I don't believe so, right? Do we have the oil last week? We did? Vayikra? Vayikra has the karbon? Yeah, right. I'm sorry. So every parsha.
That's the same as it starts with Ola and
Bolt. Ola, and then the
order changes.
Order changes, correct. Order, but all the. What's my high? What's going on over here? What? Last week wasn't enough. By parsha Vayikra, we go through all the carbonos. We leave out one carbon, by the way. We leave out the carbon toidah. That's the point. That's what we make. And here, Nachamo, Oila, you have the Mincha, and you have. Every carbon makes an appearance. Every carbon makes an appearance. You have the chatos, you have the osham, you have the shlamim. What's going on here? Who's the editor of the chumash? So the answer is, and also why, if in any way we say it twice, why is this parasha have a bonus? A bonus carbon that does not appear in last week's parasha. The carbon toidah. It's the only carbon that doesn't appear in last week's parasha appears in this week's parasha. My high. And then at the end of the parasha, by the way, it's the miluim. Going back to parashas tetzaveh, we then go everything to chazara of everything that was instructed should be done by the miluim of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, was now actually done again. Was b'shas maisa, was performed. So the whole parasha kimat is chazara. The first half chazar is vayikra. The second half reviews the laws, what was taught in the miluim in parashas tetzaveh. There's one unique thing about the parasha in the middle of carbon toiva. What's going on? We're doing a very short parasha this week. Everyone's tired. It's after Purim. Right after Purim. I got to joke around. Everyone I know was fighting, urging to lay in the Megillah yesterday. All the Balei Kriya, they came out of the woodworks. Who's going to lay in the Megillah? Who's going to get the cover to lay in the Megillah? And this means that many. Boisai, no one is lining up to lay in Parsha Saf tomorrow.
Easy
Parsha. Five columns? That's an easy Parsha. No one's lining up to lay in Parsha Saf tomorrow. Everyone was lining up yesterday to lay in the Megillah. It'll be very, if Kili will just lay up the Parsha Toida, we should be done. Baisai, you want to know about the Karbonos? We did it last week. You want to know about the Miluim? Go back to Parashas Tetzaveh, we already did that. So what's unique? Toit, okay? Three psukim. Baisai, Kriya, Satara, Tail, we three psukim, everyone can go home and go to sleep. My high! What's going on over here? This is a very simple answer. There's a very deep answer, which we're only going to own as one parat that relates to Shushan Purim. Purim and Shushan Purim. And that is, Parashas Vayikra was spoken, was delivered to Klal Yisrael with the word Vayikra, as we said, Vayikra, Lashon Tziva, to the common man, to the petitioner, to the man who is bringing the korban. Parashas Sav is, everything is the same, but from the perspective of the Kohen, who is serving the petitioner. It's the same carbon, but a different perspective. When you bring a carbon, I'm bringing the carbon, I'm facing this way, and the Kohen is standing on the other side, looking in the other direction, facing me. Yes, You're here today to bring a carbon chatos. Let me help you. What kind of animal do you want to bring? This is where we're going to slaughter it. This is how you're going to do the smicha. This is what you need to know. I'm going to help you. We're going to go through this process. I'm going to be of your assistance today. I am your personal Kohen for the day. That's the only difference. Parshas Vayikra is from the perspective of the Yisrael, of the one who brings the carbon. Parshas Tzav is the same carbon, but it's from a different perspective. The one who is helping and serving. And the most basic difference is the first word of the parsha. Parshas Vayikra Ein Vayikra El Eloshim El Chiba L'Shoim Shemalachi Hashoris. They use V'Kora Zeh El Zeh V'Yomar. When you're dealing with the Hamoinam, with Klal Yisrael, and you tell them, bring Korbanos. If you've done Averos, it's not over. You can come back to Hashem. You have to do Kiruv with love. But the Kohanim, who are on the job, you don't show up for work, you're fired. There's no vacation, no excuses. This is your job. This is what you're here for. No love. There's no love for the Kohanim. When the Kohanim come into the office, this is your job. Not going to be, oh, today we're going to be nice to you and everything's going to be good and fine. Get to work. You have people who need your help. Ein Tzav Ela L'Shoin Zirus. The chiba for the Talmidim. The chiba is not for the Rebbeim. The Rebbeim have work to do. They have a mission. They have a goal. You're in this business. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Your reward will come in the next world. That's when you'll get your chiba. Here you have what? That's the most fundamental difference. And it's kedai just for that to repeat the parsha from beginning to end. Beginning to end, just to bring out that message. There's a lot more. Go study every carbon and look at the nuances and be blown away. Blown away, the nuance is the difference between the carbon, the perspective of the one who brings the carbon, versus the perspective of the one who is serving the community. Now, let's go a step further. What about the carbon toida? Why is the carbon toida absent in Parshas Vayikra, but it makes its appearance in Parshas Tzav? I saw an incredible art from, I think it's from Shimon, who's it? Maybe it was from the Shemin HaTayva by Bernard Weinberger. Perhaps it was from Bernard Weinberger. Perhaps from the Shemin HaTayva. And he says something very, very fascinating, which I want to tie into the Al Hanisim, which blew my mind. Something that I saw in Rabbi Mutzvi. That said that I was using this whole week, Rabbi, from the Mutzvi family there in Bukubolim. It was a very famous Ben Tzion Mutzvi. Is anyone familiar? Mutzapi? Who's the one that passed away? The father. There was someone, a very holy person, a Mukubal, a Svardasha, a very holy person. I think he passed away a while ago. And his son is also an incredible Talmud Chacham. And he wrote this. I mean, the Sefer is just second to none. And he quotes a lot, always quoting the Minhagim of his father. And in the process, he's Mefalpel and he's Malaki. Malaki, and he brings out things he never heard before, never heard, never saw before. Now let's put the two together. And this is what I saw. I think I saw Rabbi Bernard Weinberger in the Shemin HaTayva, if I'm not mistaken. This is where I saw this idea, the basic idea. And it is, when do you bring a carbon toida? When? Well, there are two different categories. There are times when you have no choice. You have no choice. You must bring the carbon toida. When is that? Four times. A person who was healed, was nisrape, a person who was released from captivity. Okay, number three, when a person crosses the yam, he crossed over the seas, or as the first chol shel nisrape, will cross over the seas, or was released from captivity, or he travels in the desert, he comes through a dangerous journey, he reaches his destination. You have no choice. You don't have a choice. You get up there and you bring your carbon toida. Today, what do? We make birchas hagoymel. Shegmolani lechayavim toivim. Shegmolani kol toiv. You have a choice. You have to get up, make a bracha. B'shem malchus. You have to be this kineged a carbon toida. But then there's a halacha that if you want to just stop out of the blue, you wake up one day and you're in a good mood. Hashem, I love you. I want to bring a carbon taida. You can do it. It's not like Brichas HaGoymel. You can't get up in front of Shul and make Hashem a malchus. You can't get up and say, oh, today I'm in a good mood. I want to get up today when davening is over. I'm getting aliyah. You tell the Gabbai, I have a chiv. I'm making Brichas HaGoymel. Oh, I'm making Brichas HaGoymel. Okay, we're going to push you to the front of the line. We're going to give you an aliyah. You get the aliyah, and then you make the Brichas HaGoymel. What happened? Nothing. I'm in a good mood. I wanted an aliyah. So I told the Gabbai, I have to be a Brichas HaGoymel. Meshuggah, you're not allowed to do that. You can't go make a Hashem a Malchus when you have no Chiyav. But if you want to bring a carbon, you can do it. You can bring a carbon toida voluntarily to thank Hashem. So here's an incredible idea. Parashas Vayikra, we're talking to the average person. The average Joe. And we're talking to him, he does Averos. He needs this carbon, that carbon, he wants to give a gift. The average person, Odom, Kiyakriv carbon. An Odom, stama person. We talk to him, B'loshon Chiba. We say to him, come close, V'kara Zel Zev Yomar. The average person is not coming stam to bring a carbon tide. The average person doesn't appreciate, is not on the level to see the miracles of Hashem in his daily life, to see all the Purim story unfold in front of his eyes every single day, to just come and bring a carbon toida. Parshas Tzav is addressing the Kohanim, people who serve Hashem, Toirosoi Umnosoi. This is all they do. They serve Hashem in every spiritual capacity. People who are serving Hashem 24/7 are expected to have an appreciation and to see Hashem in a different way, from a different perspective, where they wake up every morning and say, you know what? I'm in a good mood today. I appreciate, I see the Yad Hashem. I saw the miracle happen in my life that the average person would not see, because I am blessed to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm blessed to be serving to be living in a spiritual world, the entire, completely immersed in the spiritual world, and I'm able to see the Yad Hashem, and therefore, you know what? I'm going to bring today a voluntary carbon taida. You'll ask me the question, why doesn't the obligatory carbon taida appear in Parash Vayikra? It's a good question. I don't know the answer. There are obligations to bring a carbon taida as well. But because a carbon taida in general can be a voluntary carbon, why would you want to bring a carbon taida? You bring the carbon taida when you are overwhelmed with an appreciation of thanksgiving for Hashem. Who is overwhelmed with an appreciation for Hashem? People that are immersed in Hashem's bias, the Kohanim. And that is a Parashas Tzav, where we are describing Korbanos from the perspective of Kohanim. It's expected that it should be natural for a Kohanim to want to bring a carbon toida every day. Every single day. Or whenever, often.
The Kohen Gadol does.
He brings a Michas Chavitin. That's a different type of carbon. That's more inaugural carbon. No, don't seem so.
When you say they appreciate the daily Nisim, are we talking about, let's say, the Nisim that in the Bias Rishon?
Today, Nisim Nistorim, the Purim story. Every day a Purim story unfolds in front of a person. Every single day. Problem is, we don't see it.
No, but what do Kohanim in particular?
They have a higher sensitivity. They have a higher degree of sensitivity where they get it. The average person who doesn't have the fortune, the blessing to be, the opportunity to be in a place, in a life of holiness, they don't have the opportunity to every single moment see miracles. They have the Chagim, the Yom Tovim. Occasionally they do have miracles, and they come to the Beis HaMikdash, they bring a carbon taida. But the Torah is telling you, Kohanim, you don't have jobs, you're not making money. What do you do the whole day? You learn, you serve Klal Yisrael, you live in the Beis HaMikdash, you're serving in a holy environment. there is an expectation of you to be on a higher level where you are able to see hidden miracles where the average person does not. And that observation, that awareness, demands of you a response. And that response is to praise Hashem and give thanksgiving to Hashem by offering a carbon toida, a voluntary carbon toida, that the average person would not feel the need to do so. The average person has come... What?
They only do a few weeks a year.
But even though they only serve 2 weeks a year, you're right, only serve... Rabbi Naaman is pointing out they only serve there 2 days a year, really. The two, they, each mishmar would serve, there was a rotation of 24 weeks. You're only on duty 1 week a year, and even the 1 week a year, you only serve from that 1 week 1 day. Shabbos, you're all joined together, but how much could you possibly do because you're competing with everyone else? Who says you would even do anything on Shabbos? Who's even doing on that day? But Chazal make it very clear, they prepared a whole year for those 2 days. Which, what do you mean they prepared? I don't know if they learned all the halachas. Sheikh, they don't go sit and learn the whole day all the halachas. They know the halachas already. It means they did not work and they were supported to be involved and to, I don't know what they did in those days. They didn't have svarim like we. But basically, the equivalent of what a koyel Yungalai, the koyel people do. You are devoted to learn and daven the whole day. You don't have a job. The Koyahanim were not even allowed. I don't know allowed, but I don't know what it means. Maybe that's not so. But they did not. They were devoted, they were supported, and they were devoted to learn, to daven, to serve in spiritual roles. What kind of spiritual roles? Doesn't this? They learned. They served. They were dayanim. They were teachers, the malamdim. They were sheikhdim. They served in the spiritual roles of Klal Yisrael 24/7 the whole year to be Klei Kodesh, to be on a higher level. So when those 2 days a year come, they're ready. A person who's working in computers, you know, it's a little bit of a shake-up, you know, to go from your job and to fly to Eretz Yisrael and to show up. Okay, here I am. Where am I? Bidei Kahuna. I'm going into the base of Mishnah Bidei Karban. Hey, wait a minute over here. You know where you are over here? First thing is put down your cell phone. Put down the smartphone. Okay, that's number one. Number two, you go to mikvah. Okay, when was the last time you learned to daf Gemara? You know, where are you holding here? Wait, let's take a step back. You realize when you're coming over here? Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean they lived the halachas, but they had to be on a spiritual level to be roy to serve the Beis Hamishnah being the Karbonis. Therefore, these type of people, it is expected of them to be have a higher sensitivity to see the Yad Hashem in everything that happens in this world. And therefore, it's very fitting. In Parashat Sav, we were focused on the perspective of the Kohanim, Toida, not just Stama Toida, a voluntary carbon Toida. Now, I want to tie that together with something that blew my mind. Today, we don't say Al Hanisim, but if you say Al Hanisim today, you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. If you say Al Hanisim tomorrow, you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Because tomorrow it's a hefsek. That's the very important halacha. If you say Al Hanisim the whole year, then you did not daven a kosher Shemona Esrei. It's like you spoke. You're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and the phone rings, and you have a conversation. And then when you finish your conversation, you go back to finishing off the Shemona Esrei. So what is the halacha? If you have a conversation, Mil Shemona Esrei, you have to start from the very beginning. You don't go continue where you left off. If tomorrow on Shabbos Kodesh you say Al Hanisim, it's like you had a conversation on the telephone and you have to start the Shemona Esrei from the very beginning. Today, it's not Purim, so you don't say Al Hanisim, but if you do today say Al Hanisim, you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei, because today is Shushan Purim. It's also a little bit Purim today. Where in the modim do you recite Al Hanisim? Never heard this before. This is a shock to me. Total shock to me. So I always thought, what do you mean? There's only one place. You say modim. Hatoiv ki loy cholu rachamecha. V'hamerachem Hashem uz merachem ki loy samu chasodecha. Your kindness never comes to an end. May oilam kivinu loch. We've always, from days of yore, from time immemorial, we've always yearned for you, Hashem. Me oilam kivinu lach. Ah, Purim. V'al hanisim, v'al apurkan, v'al agavurais, v'al hatashuais, v'al milchamois, v'al sislav, v'al seyni, v'al yimimam, v'al zanzeh, v'al morcha, v'al yester, or Hanukkah. Is that what we do? There's no sitter you're going to show me that says otherwise. The Gemara talks about maybe saying it during, I think the Gemara talks about saying it maybe like we say Yala V'yava, saying in a Ritzeh, in the middle of Ritzeh, but we don't do that. We say the modim, we give thanks. So where, when we're giving thanks, we wind down the bracha, we al hanisim. There is an opinion, Rabbi Mutzpi cites this opinion, that some do this. I don't know who these some people are, or some in the past may have done this. Again, we live today in the big melting pot. Everyone is penguin. We're all black and white. Everything is the same. No room for deviation. And we say, Al Hanisim Me'elam Kvinlach. But he cites, that's not the minhag. The old minhag was that to recite Al Hanisim after you say the word, V'yal Nisecha Shebuchol Yoim Imanu. In the middle of modim, what do you say? Al chayein, no de luchon saber tilosecha, al chayeinu, our lives, hamisurim biyodecha. V'yal nisecha, your miracles, shebechol yoim imanu. V'yal hanisim, v'yal apurkan, v'yal hagavuros, v'yal hatashuos. Who told you should wait to say al hanisim until you get to the end of modim? You should say, what do? We say, V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. Thank you, Hashem. V'al nifli oisecha, your wonders. V'toy v'secha shebechol eis, ere v'okiv v'tzorema, atut kilo yorechol rechamecha, v'yam rachim kilo samu chasadecha, me'olam kivinu loch. And also, V'al hanisim, V'al apurkan, V'al hagvurois. Wait. You said in the middle of modim, V'al hanisim. So don't you think it should be appropriate that once you say the words in the smack in the middle, V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu, you should right away say, V'al hanisim, V'al apurkan, V'al hagavuros. Right? Wouldn't that be appropriate to do? And then when you finish saying the whole thing, V'asalu oisoy v'yes banav al ho'eitz, continue where you left off. V'yal nifli oisecha, v'toy v'secha.
Does that go for
Chanukah too? Yeah, because nisim. Al nisecha, v'al hanisim, right? They go together. Isn't that very logical? So what's going on over here? My heart. Why is our minute?
The day after Hanukkah, the person says al nisim.
Lo yotza. But that's about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that part anymore. That's just a point. Today you're still shaykhin al hanisim. That's what. But what's going on over here? I'm talking about another location. Let's just focus now simply. Where in Moedim do you recite Al Hanisim? Where do you recite it? Our minog, b'li yoytzei min haklal.
Wait
to the end. You're not going to find me a sitter anywhere that puts Al Hanisim anywhere in the middle. Al Hanisim is said the very, very end. But it's not so simple. There's no doubt that there are minhagim, or used to be minhagim, b'shanim kadmonios, where you put al hanisim in the middle of birchas moedim, immediately after you say the words v'al nisecha shebechol yoim imanu v'al hanisim. The two words go together. So what is happening over here? So my question is, what's the difference in the minhagim? What's the chiluk? Why did some hold bedavka this way? And why is it our minhag b'davka the other way around? And I believe the answer is the difference of minhagim is the difference between Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav. What's the words here? V'al nisecha. You can't stop right after that word. You have to say at least the phrase. V'al nisecha shebechol yoim imanu. Every single day. And now you say the Purim miracle, or the Chanukah miracle. Let's talk about the Purim miracle. That implies almost that if you put the two together, V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu, and then the Purim miracle, it's like, oh, Ribbono Shalom, the truth is, every single day I see the Purim miracle. That's hypocrisy. I mean, that's not the right word. It's not true. Are we on a level?
Exaggeration.
It's an exaggeration. Are we on a level, the average man, Adam, ki Yaakov became Karban? Are we on a level that we see the miracles of Hashem every single day? I don't think.
Maybe Chanukah is more appropriate.
Why? Because Chanukah is a different Chanukah is a miracle.
No, but I mean,
the Gibori be'ar chalosh be'ar da'atim. That's certainly not every single day.
Maybe it is because every day we're confronted with.
So you can play with the idea also. You're right. This is the dilemma, the difference of minhagim. How far does the person have the ability to take the Chanukah miracle and the Purim miracle, and it should be practical every single day of their life, to the point where you have no embarrassment saying V'al nisecha shebechol yoyim imanu. And then I say, V'al nisim, bring it out right there and then. That's the difference between Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav. In Parshas Vayikra, there's no carbon title. Why not? Because Parshas Vayikra is being recited, is being spoken to from the perspective, is being addressed to the common man. The common man is not expected to wake up every morning and say, wow, what a world. I have to go to the Beis HaMikdash, cancel all my appointments, and go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a carbon toilet to Hashem, a voluntary carbon toilet. The average man is not expected. It's not. He's not the person that's going to say V'al nisecha shebechol yoyim imanu and say V'al hanis and V'al aporkon. The average man will wait until he finishes the whole modim and say Nu me'olam kivinu lach and Nu twice a year, once in a while, Nu V'al hanis and V'al aporkon. But Parshas Tzav is speaking from the perspective of the kohanim. There are people in this world that are different. They're blessed. They have been given different opportunities. Whether they fell into it by mazel, or whether they waste a nefesh, whatever it is, whatever. No one understands how all these things work. But there are people that somehow are in a different situation where they have an opportunity to see Hashem every single day. The Kohanim, okay, that was their job. It's hard for us to relate to such a thing in a modern world where everyone is, so many people, they struggle to survive, hard to relate to such a thing. And for those people, yeah, that's right. V'al nisecha shebechol yom imanu, a parasha asav, you bring a carbon toida, that's right. The Chanukah miracle, the poor miracle, I can take a seat every single day. Therefore, that's the appropriate place where it should go. When we do say it twice a year, that's the place it should go, because through these miracles, every single day, I come to that level.
The only thing is that asav doesn't come out poor every year.
What?
Tzav does not come out.
No, I'm not only talking Tzav. I'm talking in general. I'm taking the lesson. I'm talking about Tzav. I'm just in general. We have over here a lesson in this parasha. I just want to bring out the point. We have here a Tzav. We have here a difference by Yikra and Tzav. And we have two different minhagim. One minute we never heard. I don't think anyone ever heard this minute. I never heard of this minute before. We never heard of this minute. But there's a minute. This is the real deal. I'm not making this up. This is the real deal. So what's the chilik between the two different minhagim? When you hear this vart from Rabbi Weinberger, on the difference between Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav, and you understand there are two different types of people in this world, then there's an appreciation why there should be a difference of opinion where you put the bracha, where you put the Al Hanisim. Do you put it here or do you put it there? Okay. Running out of time. Let's discuss the significance of Shushan Purim. Two ideas about Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim BMS is Yoim Yerushalayim. Okay, on Chof Ches Iyar in the year 1973, correct? Tav Shin Lama Gimel. That's not then. Tav Shin Lama Gimel. That was 1967. The Yom Kippur War.
No,
it's
1973.
The war was 1973.
Which
50 years since the Koisel. The Yom Kippur War. What am I saying?
1973.
That was right.
Yeah.
When the Yerushalayim, Yom Yerushalayim commemorates
67.
The reunification of Yerushalayim. We're getting all mixed up. Yom, there is a day that many people, even those who do not celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ot, celebrate Yom Yerushalayim.
Nisim Gulim, people that were involved, 67, they celebrate Nisim. It's not recognized. It's not recognized by the state of Israel as a state holiday. It's not recognized. But it's interesting. A lot of people. Who is it official? Even your Yishlaim?
Yes.
Officially, is recognized as a holiday? Okay. I'm not getting. That's not my point. Just there is today in the modern world. The modern world, a day that people who participated and were involved in that war, it means so much to. Okay, a lot of these people already, you know, that there's Zakenim, but it means to them, people that were involved and involved, this was much more significant in their eyes to a degree than even the establishment of the State of Israel. But the truth is, Chazal came way before them. Before 1967, there was a Purim. It was a Purim that happened more than 2,500 years ago, approximately. The story of Purim. And when Chazal came to establish Purim, they established it on Yodal, the 14th day of Adar. And then they decided we have to have another holiday for what happened in Shushan HaBira. Because Shushan HaBira, the capital, where all the trouble was, there was a need for another day of war. They need to fight on day 14, and they rested on day 15. So they enacted any city, not just Shushan, that has a wall around it from the time of, would seem from Achashverosh, should celebrate, to commemorate, to partner with Shushan HaBira and celebrate on day 15. But then Chazal realized that Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh would be celebrated, Purim, on day 14, and Shushan HaBira, and who knows, and maybe New York City, maybe they had a wall around it then. Maybe the Indians built a wall around Manhattan then, I'm just joking, but they're going to celebrate Purim on day 15. Hayitochein. Then you have to, Chachomim, they're all Ezeo Chochom. Horoye es Hanoyim. When Chazal made a takana, they looked at Soif Kol HaDoris. How could it be they're going to enact a holiday? The day will come when Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh will be rebuilt, will be restored, and Purim will never come to an end. How could it be that in Shushan HaBira, in Iran, how could it be they're going to celebrate Purim on day 15, and in Yerushalayim they're going to celebrate on day 14? So they say, you know what, we're going to change the rules. It's not going to be we're going to celebrate from the time when a city had a wall, from the time of Achashverosh. Lichvoid Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. We're going to make a rule any city that had a wall from the time of Yehoshua Ben Nun, that had a wall from that Zman, will celebrate the Yom Tov of Purim on day 15. L'chvoid Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, it should not be less than Shushan HaBira. And today, the only place indeed where we celebrate Purim is, on the day 15, is Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. The whole essence of the day, the whole essence is one thing, to give kavod to Yerushalayim.
Do we know where Shushan is?
Yeah, I think we do. I mean, we have the book here. There is no Shushan anymore. But there's no wall anymore. The whole thing is just I don't know. It's a museum. It's an archaeological. It's a dig. It's not. There's nothing there anymore. Archaeological dig. What? Okay, here's the book. This is the. If you want all the answers, there's no better book than this. Pass on the book. This is the book of what's doing today in modern day Shushan. It doesn't matter. There's no. I don't think there's any celebration. As far as I know, there's no celebration. Maybe today there will be people. Maybe it'll be a good business. They go to Uman, so we can go to Shushan for Purim, right? Start a new trend. It'll be a $1 billion business. In any event, so the whole day, you appreciate what today is? Shushan, what is Shushan Purim today? Today is Yom Yerushalayim. You appreciate this? Today is the day, the whole mahus of today is one thing only. To give kavod to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. That's the whole day. Now, l'chavoy Yerushalayim, let me tell you a short part. And what is Yerushalayim? The Pasuk says, in the beginning of the Torah, we once discussed very, very quickly, just to bring out this point. It's not long, very short. It says that when Hashem created the world, there were four rivers. Yes. And the first river, yes. The first river was called Chazila.
No.
Wait, 1 second. Let me open the pasuk. Here we go. Alrighty, Vinahar, you're right. Vinahar Yotzei Me'eden. Okay, I'm reading chapter verse. Lahashkois es Hagon. Umisham yipored v'hayoli arba'or Hashem. Shem lechad pishoin. What is pishoin? Hu hasoy vev pishoin. It circulated, went around. Eis kol eretz hachavila. The land called Chavila. Where is Chavila? Even Google Maps doesn't know where Chavila is today. All we know about Chavila, Asher Shom HaZahav, they cleaned it out. That's why. If they knew where it was, there'd be people there right now digging for the gold. Asher Shom HaZahav. Chazah, and what is that kind of gold? Uzahav. Ha'aret Sahit Hoiv. It's the best of the best. Shom HaBedoilach. Le'evin HaShoya. What is Chavila? Chazal say Chavila is a code word for Eretz Yisrael. The whole Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why is Eretz Yisrael called Chavila? Shemichaveles lechakadosh baruch hu. I think that expression, I'm not forgetting. Shechaveles medrash, beferish medrash, it yearns. It is a land where the inhabitants, where the earth itself is a lashon of miyachel, to yearn, to hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an explicit medrash. Eretz HaChavila is a code word for Eretz Yisrael. And Asher Shom HaZohav. In Eretz Yisrael there's gold. What's the gold? Rabbi Akiva, when he wanted to give his wife a gift, he gave her a gift, an ornament, called the Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. And the other, her friends were very jealous that this woman is wearing this beautiful ornament called Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. They said to their husband, how come I don't get one from you? And that whole, what I forgot, I don't remember the names, and he said to her, because you don't deserve it. When you'll be like Rabbi Akiva's wife, then you'll get your Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. But until that happens, too bad for you. You're not getting, you'll have to get what I bought for 25 cents in the supermarket. That thing that came out, they still have those things anymore. I don't know if they still have them anymore. What? That guy. Poor guy. So Rabbi Akiva, he has a certain insight. He called Yerushalayim gold. Where did that come from? It's not a modern-day song, okay? That's not fair. Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, it comes from Rabbi Akiva, okay? This comes from way, way back, from the Gemara. It's the Mishnah, it's the Shabbos. He called it gold. Yerushalayim Shel. So it says here, Uzahav, the gold of Eretz Ahitoiv. Yerushalayim is, where did Rabbi Akiva get that from? He got it from this pasuk. Because Yerushalayim is called gold. It's called toiv. It says, Hohor Hatoiv Hazeh V'halavanon. So in Eretz Yisrael there's something called gold. And the gold is Toiv. Yerushalayim. And what's the gold of Yerushalayim? Two things. Bedoilach and Even Hashoyam. What is Bedoilach? All these code words, like Mamas are having over here, an encryption. Sheer encryption. What is the gold? Or decryption. What is the gold? What is Bedoilach? Chazal say Bedoilach is the Tzinsenes Hamon. What's the Tzinsenes Hamon? What's the Tzinsenes Hamon? The Mon was called the Einoi, when the Torah describes the Mon. Ke'ein HaBedoilach. Where in Yerushalayim was there Mon? Mon was only in the Midbar. There was no Mon in Yerushalayim. Yes, there was. Yirmiyah instructed. Hashem told Moshe, put a container of man. It should go with you. And it went all the way to Eretz Yisrael, into Yerushalayim. The Tzinsenes Hamon. Yirmiyah took out the Tzinsenes Hamon. He told the people, it's time for you to retire and go to Koilel. Parnasa, no, look at the man. Hashem will provide for you. Ru'u Hador is a beautiful pasuk in Yirmiyah. Look at the Tzinsenes Hamon. And what else was there in the, what else? Visham, the Even Hashoyam.
What's the Evan Ashayam? The Kohen Gadol carries on his shoulders the Shiftei Ka. Not the Urim V'Tumim. That's the Choshen. On the Avnei Shoyam. Avnei Shoyam are on the shoulders. On the shoulders. Eight, no Choshen. Only the Eifod had the Avnei Shoyam. Only the Eifod. On the Eifod which has attached the shoulder pieces. And the shoulder pieces have the Shiftei Ka on the shoulder. What is a shoulder? Vayar Minuchas, the same thing. Vayar Minucha Kitoiv. Vayet Shichmoy Lispol. What did Chazal darshin? Yisocha saw the chashivus of Torah. He saw the menucha, the satisfaction in Torah. Vayet Shichmoy. He bent down his shoulders to carry upon himself, on his shoulders, the chashivus of Torah. The Avnei Shoyam represents Klal Yisrael being oisek in Torah with Mesiras Nefesh, which is found, which represented by the bedoylach inside of the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Tzinsenes Haman, Hashem is the one that provides parnasa, especially for the people who carry upon their shoulders the burden of carrying Klal Yisrael, the spiritual leaders. This is the beauty of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is what? It's the Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaChavila. In the Eretz HaChavila, there is Zav. The Zav is what? It's Toiv. Hahar Hazeh HaToiv. Hahar HaToiv. The Halavanim is the Yerushalayim Shel Eretz Yisrael. And the Maila, what's the beauty of Eretz Yisrael? There you will find the people who are willing to carry upon themselves the Achrayis, the Klal Yisrael, to carry upon their shoulders the Shiftei Ka, together with the lessons of Mesiras Nefesh, Kiel Kol Pi Hashem Yichyeh HaAdam. That is Yerushalayim. Today is a day where Chazal have given tribute to Yerushalayim Ir HaKadosh. I want to wind down with one very, very short list thing. Another important thing, this is the thing I'm going to recall like this thing. This is the fascinating thing. There's another thing about today, which we only can do in the Russian program because we don't have time. What else was unique about Shushan HaBira? Okay, there's a very beautiful message which tells us Shushan HaBira was never meant to be the palace. This is not the palace, the psukim which tell us where the capital was supposed to be. The problem was Achashverosh and all of his predecessors were obsessed, really with a sickness, possessed with the Kisei Shel Shlomo, the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. And he had it in his possession. But the problem was, he was booby-trapped.
Yes.
It was booby-trapped. If you try to sit down on the throne, it would kill you. Okay, it was booby-trapped. It was very technology that's beyond our understanding, how this throne worked. It elevated the person. There were lions, animals, beyond what we can even fathom, technology, genius, how this thing was constructed. And everyone was upset. He couldn't sit on the throne. So what did he do? He created a replica. A replica that was not booby-trapped, that he could sit on. Where was the factory? In Shushan. Shushan was the made in Japan. China. That's where it was. It was the factory. They built it. It was magnificent beyond description. Problem was, when it came time to bring it over the GWB, they realized it doesn't fit. Even if they shut down the bridge, they're not going to be able to get it over the bridge. They could not transport it. So they have a big problem. They spent an enormous amount of money, time, effort, and they could not get the throne to where it was meant to be. So he made an incredible decision. If we can't bring the throne to where the capital is, we'll build the capital around the throne. Major thing, they moved the capital to be, and they built the palace around where the factory, where the throne was. When we celebrate Shushan Purim, now what was that throne? That was a replica, or a wannabe throne of Shlomo HaMelech. Shushan Purim is a tribute, besides Yerushalayim, it's a tribute to the Kisei Shel Shlomo. Wow. That's what Shushan Purim, that's what today is. We pay homage, tribute to the Kisei Shel Shlomo HaMelech. What is that about? What kind of statement is that? What does that mean? What was Shlomo HaMelech's throne? What did he use the throne for? What did Shlomo HaMelech thrive on? Did he thrive on making drushes? Doesn't say. That wasn't the homiletics, was not his thing. Okay, was this thing Musar, about an inspirational speaker? Right? On for him. Was he on all the posters in the FJJ, inspirational speaker? No. Was he a fundraiser? Doesn't seem like it. What was his big deal? What did he enjoy? What did he make?
Great smart.
That wasn't his big thing. Oh, he loved to be a dayan. That was his big thing. That's what he enjoyed. That was where he thrived. To be a shofet, a judge. The Kisei Shlomo represents mishpat. What is mishpat? What's right and what is wrong? It's fascinating. When you go to Beis HaKisei, you make. And what is his throne? His throne is no, Rabbi. So this is very serious. This is not. Even though it's poor, this is not a joke. What I'm saying now. I'm saying very serious stuff now. Really, Amir. When we go to a Beis HaKisei, we make a very strange bracha. What in the world is that doing to be said? You come out of a bathroom. What does this make any sense? What is mishpat? What in the is the essence of Shlomo's kisei is Lu'umas Hashem's kisei. It's all dogma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really, today is a tribute to Shlomo's kisei, which in turn is a tribute to the kisei HaKavod. And what is the kisei HaKavod? Mishpat. What is mishpat? What's right and what's wrong. You are right and you are wrong. You are guilty, you are innocent. To be mavchin between what is correct and what is not correct. When a person goes to the Beis HaKisei, he is witnessing the ultimate mishpat. His body has miraculously selected what is right and what is wrong. What is a toxin and what is beneficial for the body to live and thrive. When you go to the Beis, your body is doing mishpat. This element, you stay. You stay, we need you to give chizuk to the body. You, if we don't get rid of you and flush you down the sewer system, this person will end up in the doctor's office. The body is exercising mishpat. What gets to stay and what gets flushed away. This is mishpat. When a person experiences that mishpat, oh, mishpat, my body has exercised mishpat with precision that is mind-boggling. That even the greatest doctors and scientists have no clue how my body was able to exercise this mishpat. Who is the Baal HaMishpat? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Where is his mishpat exercised? The Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod. The Shlomo was mishpat. His mishpat was in the Kisei. The Kisei represents mishpat. That's why you make a bracha of Galui Vidu Lefnei Chisei Chivodecha. It's mishpat. What is Purim? Purim is mishpat. We thought that this event was Narishkeit. This was a coincidence. Esther happens to be here. Mordechai happens to be here. Big son Viserys happens to be here. This event, who would know? Who is so wise? Who is so wise to discern that this is important and this is nonsense? It's only on Purim when it's revealed the secrets. In hindsight, do you look back and do you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exercising mishpat?
Purim went from Kisei Adin to Kisei Rachim and Mosa.
No, that's not what Purim is. Purim is
Kisei Rachim and Mosa.
But Purim is recognition HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates everything. You see that what you thought was Narishkeit. Why did this happen? This was MS. It had to be like this. Because if this didn't happen, this can happen. If this doesn't happen, this is not going to happen. It's a day when you see the Hashem's mishpat. It's a mishpat of rachamim, but it's a revelation. It's a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's something which you go to a judge. Why do you go to a judge? Because I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if you're right or you're right. Is he right or is he wrong? You don't know. You need someone who understands the depth of what's going on to tell you, no, this is correct and this is wrong. That's what happens on, we all become Dayanim on Purim. Wow, now we understand. We understand why this was correct, this was wrong. In hindsight, all the pieces come together. There is clarity. Everything, Yavai al Mikoimai Bishalayim, what a Dayan does. Memela, it's appropriate that the Ikur Zman of Purim, the Ikur Purim is the Purim of Shushan Abira. Shushan, who cares about Shushan? We care about Shushan. Because Shushan's only claim to fame is one thing only. The Kisei of Shlomo HaMelech. The wannabe Kisei of Shlomo HaMelech. And the wannabe Kisei is a dogma of Chagadya. Is a dogma of the Kisei, Shlomo's Kisei. And Shlomo's Kisei is the dogma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei is Mishpat. What is Purim? Purim is really where we are privy, we're taken behind the scenes to be able to learn what Mishpat really is. What is correct, what is not correct, and all the pieces come together to see. You come to a judgment. No one knows. No one knows who's right, who's wrong. Things have to be exposed. Have to be megale to see the mishpat. This is Shushan Purim. Have a wonderful day. Wonderful Shabbos.